Supporting the Arts in Waterford. Showtime on WLR.
With thanks to Worldwide Wines. WLR.
Well, you're very welcome into another Showtime podcast. Thank you for downloading and listening in. And we have a couple of weeks' worth of podcasts to catch up with. But this week on Showtime, we had a visit from the Waterford Dramatic Society, or WDS for short. They're coming up to a huge anniversary. They're coming up to their 90th anniversary. And to celebrate, they are performing the John B. Keane classic, Big Maggie, in Garter Lane. Well, last week, Frieda Ryan, Denise Quinn, Luke Corcoran and Catherine Bradley, all from the Waterford Dramatic Society, called in to tell us all about it. WLR. You're all very welcome to studio, lads.
Thanks very much, Wayne.
Cheers.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you.
Okay, 90 years of WDS. That is an absolutely huge achievement. So, Frieda, we might come to yourself first. Do you feel 90? Not you personally.
Well, certainly, I nearly feel 90 now at the moment because, you know, it's there's a lot going on. But yes, 90 years, starting in October 1935. And apart from COVID and a couple of years when there wasn't personnel to do productions, there were sort of a few workshops done, there has been something going on in WDS since October 1935. And I have been involved more or less during half of that period. So 46 years, starting in 1979, with a couple of short times when I wasn't. But over that period, for pretty well 46 years, which when I thought about it, sounded absolutely off the chart in terms of bizarre.
Yeah. When I'm looking at the other anniversaries in the town this year, you're looking at 10 years of WMS and 40 years of Panto. Like, it just pales into significance, that time frame.
Well, yes, and that's why this year it was very important for us that we would have something significant. I did Big Maggie in 1993. I played Big Maggie in 1993. In fact, I started off casting it for me to direct. And none of the people that were there at the time, people like Judy Faulkner and Maureen Gilmartin, Judy Faulkner, Maureen Gilmartin and Jane Leslie, wanted to take on the role. And they were on committee and they basically had a chat and said, you're going to play Big Maggie and Judy will direct. And that's what happened. So because I loved the play, and of course, again, when you're in it, you have no perspective about it, only your own sort of interaction with actors. But I always thought I'd like to direct it. So that's why we chose this one, because it's been done before by the Society. It's a great, and it hasn't been done, as far as I know, in the city since 1993.
Okay, yeah.
And that's why we're selling well.
That's a great complaint.
It's a great complaint. Yeah.
But you've got a huge support base, in fairness, every time WDS goes on.
And we really appreciate them.
Yeah.
You know, we really do.
Denise, you're making a habit out of playing these big roles now at this stage, aren't you, if you'll pardon the pun?
Yes. That just seems to be the way things have fallen out, Wayne. Yeah, that's the way the cookie has crumbled. And kind of, there was no definite, you know, we weren't there with this big ambition to do Big Maggie. We were saying, what will we do? And I can't remember, someone suggested
Jane
it
Leslie.
To you. It was Jane suggested it to Frieda. Yeah. And as soon as the name was mentioned and the fact that it's John B., it was
No-brainer.
No-brainer, absolutely. And then, like, I mean, for any actor, a role like Big Maggie, they don't come around that often.
No, they don't. You know?
So, yeah, it just so happens the last couple of years there have been big female roles, which can be kind of few enough. Mm. You know, a lot of drama is geared very much towards the main parts being actors. Yeah. But, yeah, it just so happens that the last few years there have been big female roles and I happen to have been the right woman in the right place at the right time.
It's the first name that springs to mind is Anna Manahan when I think of Big Maggie.
Yes. It was written for her.
Yeah.
It was written for her back in the 1960s. It was first published in 1969 in the three-act version. The three-act version has gone out of print. So the what's available now is the two-act version, but then some people know where to find the old version, which is useful for reference. So, yeah.
And I was just looking at this. It was actually Cork Opera House was where it was first staged in January 1969. And I didn't know this, interestingly, even though it was written for Anna, She was not the first Big Maggie.
It was Listowel Players did it first.
Right, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So it was an amateur group from the hometown that did it.
Probably an out-of-town tryout or something.
Yeah.
It was Gemini Productions, production actually, in the Opera House, when it got to the Opera House.
Yes.
And then it moved to, I think, the Olympia in Dublin.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were a number of names you'd know, like, you know...
Phyllis Ryan, who was a partner with Anna in Gemini Productions, as far as I remember.
Yeah, but a number of female actors who actually played that role, you know, and they'd be names that you'd remember. And the other little nugget, which absolutely tickled me, you'd be interested in this, Catherine, was the first in that production, the first Mary Madden was played by Brenda Fricker.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't it mad? And she vanished after that and did nothing, of course.
Yes, right, yes.
Just the last girl somewhere.
our call to Hollywood is in the post.
Yes.
Very good. Okay, Catherine, they teased earlier on that you are also the Society Archivist.
Yes. And
tell
so
us a bit more about that.
Well, I'm so lucky. I'm so privileged. How it started for me, just very quickly, a backdrop into WDS. I'm with them about 19 years now. It all started with a little workshop with up in Mount Sion with Denise and Jerry Oakes, the amazing Jerry Oakes. And jump forward, spent several years learning from these two amazing women here. And so I kind of challenged myself with a BA in English and Theatre Studies in SETU, great course going on out there. And it gave me an appreciation, I suppose, for, you know, documenting the society's history and just the added social and cultural history that it can add to any city, really. And just the stuff I found, I'll read out a few bits and bobs. So I suppose, looking at it through an academic lens, I realised, and you'd appreciate this from all the work you do in Waterford Archive, it's so important to kind of keep it somewhere and do something with it. So, you know, even you know, the living and breathing existence of the society enriches the lives of Waterford so much, and just being able to go through the boxes. And I found a document from 1942, actually, lists a set of accounts for the society where glasses and materials from J. Hearn and Son cost £1.14.09.
A bit steep now.
It was at Hawk Island in the Theatre Royal. And, you know, as you were talking about community involvement earlier on, there's a letter dated 1971 from a Major Denny in Tremor who offers a donation of uniforms. And again, just when you're looking at the dates, like I was looking at correspondence, I noticed it was amusing to me that in 1947 and in 1950, there was a severe shortage of male members from a casting perspective and also a lack of timber, but you must remember that was wartime.
And rationing thereafter.
And that's just looking at it through that lens, I found very interesting. And you were speaking about Anna Manahan earlier, and I came across a 1956 committee, beautiful letter, like beautiful calligraphy in the whole lot, offering condolences to her on the tragic passing of her husband, Colm, you know. Yes. Oh. And just these things, Lord and Lady Langford, 1956, accepting a guest of honour invite. You know, a letter from 1970, Mrs. Cunningham offering the use of evening dresses. It just goes on and on. Yeah, it's just amazing stuff.
Yes. The interesting thing about that is there's, all these years later, there's still a lack of male members.
Correct. You're saying it.
Well, we better go to the mail.
Yes, you're very lucky to have
token male of the group.
Fair promise. Luke, I'm right in saying that you were one of the people responsible for this whole pub theatre movement, aren't I?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so how did you get involved in all that?
Necessity. I'll just give you a quick background on me. I was born in Waterford, grew up in Dublin. I trained to be an actor professionally, like in the Gaiety School of Acting and then the Meisner Technique. And I've worked in a lot of films, and then I've worked as crew in film. And then I moved back to Waterford, and I really just love the community down here, the arts community, and I'm involved in Waterford Youth Arts. And so the pub theatre came about because I teach every Friday, like everything that I've learned I'm trying to pass on. And I've got a good core group of actors, and I'm I love writing, but what I don't like is what Frida's undertaking here, for example, is a massive undertaking. It's like making a big feature film, but it's a play in Garter Lane, if you know what I mean. So with pub theatre, it's just because often theatre can be price prohibitive or it can be intimidating for an audience to go to if they're not used to going to audiences. So I just went into Downs's pub and I said, can I be a resident playwright? And they said, yes. So I put plays on in the function room beside it. Mm-hmm. Last year we had 9 or 10 plays that we put on. One of our actors has gone on to incredible things that I can't talk about right now.
Okay.
So yeah, I love working. It's just to get in front of an audience really quickly in a 20-minute show. That's 3 20-minute shows in one night. And they're all original works. Mm. And the actors are getting great experience because the audience are paying, like whatever they're paying, like a tenner or whatever. But it really puts a sting in the performance, like for them, and it really gets them rise to the level and improve at the same time and go on with their careers as well. And the audience get a great laugh out of it. So, yeah.
And brilliant. Good evening's entertainment.
Absolutely.
Which is ultimately what it's about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fantastic. So then you ended up with this mad crew.
Do you want to know how that happened?
I'm sure there's a story.
Yeah, of course there's a story. Well, we had Denise worked with a guy in Clonmel and like to wish him all the best, Trevor Summers. And he was cast, sight unseen by me, on Denise's say-so as Teddy Heelan. But unfortunately, he experienced some health issues. He's fully recovered now, thankfully. But the time became kind of crucial in terms of we hadn't seen him and he wasn't able to come until a certain point. And I needed to have a Teddy Heelan.
Someone in the room.
In the room. Yeah, exactly. So I was asking other members of cast if they knew of anyone. There were a number of people that I would have hoped would have been interested, but they had other stuff going on. And that's fantastic that there is other stuff going on.
Yeah.
But for my purpose, it wasn't helpful. And Chloe suggested Luke, and because she has done workshops with Luke. So Chloe Dalton O'Neill, who's playing the part of Katie, the older of Maggie's two daughters.
Okay.
So that's how this gentleman landed.
A random message off Chloe, and she's like, "You'd be a great Teddy Heelan," and I don't know if that's a compliment or not. So I was like, "All right."
Tell Wayne why.
Well, he's described as a womanizer and a whore master, I think.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So it's great. And
very charming.
Is it autobiographical by any chance?
I'm sure not.
I don't draw from my personal experiences.
No, not.
It's imagination.
It's called acting.
But I read the play. I just quickly, because I was going to meet Frida the next day, so I read the play, but I didn't really. I just pressed Control F and found Teddy and just went through Teddy's lines and went, I don't know how I'd even play that. So yes, I would absolutely love to do this. And,
nothing like a challenge.
Yeah, I just hit it off with Frida. I was chatting to her, and I've worked with a lot of directors, and I've directed myself, and Frida's up there, one of my favourite directors to work with, for
lovely,
sure.
Yeah, great.
Her energy and her passion for it, and then being able to talk on the level that I wanted to talk on, was superb. And then working with Denise is amazing, and all the crew and the cast are fantastic. There's three lads on the three other males. There you go. I hope there's three. No, there's loads. There's 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Everybody has such a great voice. Like Stephen Curley, for example, and Brian Costello are playing the brothers in this. And their voice is like really deep, and it's really, I know it's going to affect an audience very, very deeply.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh God, I haven't done this theatre this big before, and I'm working in film at the minute. I'm like, I have to be, you know.
It's a totally different discipline. I mean, I have zero experience of the film world. I did a film with the youth drama back in the day, the film unit with, her name won't come to me now, an American woman. Fabulous woman. She worked in here, I think, at one stage. But anyway, it'll come back to me. But she was helping these young actors and directors. And it was myself and Mona Manahan and a few more people. And it was completely different. It was done in somebody's front room and around the streets of Waterford. So I have no experience of a film set. So, you know, I would be starting out much at sea. Do you know what I mean? But in the end of the day, acting is acting.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely, it is,
and it's great. The guys have all great voices, and there's great characters, and there's great actors to work with here in this as well. It's a really nice synergy going on. at the minute, yeah.
That's useful to know.
That's great. That's great. And it must be great for you again, Denise, because the last time you were all on your own, in the last one that I saw you in.
Yes.
Great to have a big cast, isn't it?
It's
a bigger cast than Ernest.
With our secret special guest.
Yes.
But 11, actually.
Yeah. I think it's the same. I think 11 we had in Ernest. But some of the roles in Ernest were quite small.
Yeah.
All of the roles here are decent roles. Everyone has a substantial character to play. And I just love it. I love the whole process. I love the whole rehearsal process. You know, I'm always sick before we go on, especially the opening night. I'm standing in the wings. And you can edit out the language now, but I'm saying... How am I doing this to myself again?
I was just about to say, well, thankfully it's not on video, but it actually is. You'll have to go to some Instagram page to see what she actually said.
But yeah, it is. It's lovely. And a lot of the people, I'm trying to think, I worked with Brian before, and I worked with Jenny, who plays Mary Madden, before, and I worked with Catherine before.
And Cassie, yes.
But all the rest are new to me, and that's brilliant.
Yeah,
you know, you're getting new energy, new voices, new perspective. So, yeah, I just love it. And I think you couldn't do it if you didn't love it. Yeah, that's the reality. It takes so much time.
Oh, absolutely.
It's such a commitment. Yeah. If you didn't love it, you wouldn't.
It's a form of insanity, really.
It's a
form of insanity that is injurious only to the person doing it themselves, rather than
inflicting it on
other people. Yeah,
I won't argue with you.
What you inflict on the audience, hopefully, is something that they will enjoy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, the sweat and the blood and the tears and the tension.
But what I like about that is the huge commitment from people who are you know just. Literally giving up of their time all the way in.
Yeah.
And it is a passion that I've recognised,
yes,
you know, that you kind of, and it's to make the standards higher. And I'm very aware, having read through stuff from 1935 on, the resilience, really, budgetary wise and every other way, it just kind of, you know, copper fastens my idea of kind of, yeah, everybody's in it together. It's kind of like you're almost like in the trenches mentality. And there's, you know, there are times when you're, oh my goodness, but you get through it and you just feel, wow, that was such an experience. And it comes from a love of doing it.
Yes, yeah. Kate McCarthy has written a beautiful keynote address for the programme. And she talks about that, about the contribution of amateur theatre all over the country. And also the passion that gets people in after their day's work. I mean, we've one lad who's on shift work, and it's a nightmare for him. Even when he's free, and it's evening rehearsals apart from Saturdays. So it's really that sort of commitment has to be given the height of praise and thanks.
Absolutely.
Do you know? And I mean, I'm looking at other companies working at the moment, you know, people like Jack Cunningham and David Hennessy and James Power and all these people. And you know, there will be certain professional elements in all these things, but in the end of the day, the vast bulk of the people involved in it, and you're talking about hundreds, and that from a city as small as Waterford, you know, huge challenges of modern life and the kind of work schedules that people have, the life schedules, the sort of financial pressures that people have that weren't there. Paul Barry, who plays Byrne, the monumental sculptor, is a fantastic part, and he's doing a great job on it. But he remarked that, you know, back in the day, people finished work at 5 o'clock. They went home and got their tea because they'd had their dinner in the middle of the day, and they came out and they were available. And we used to go to the pub afterwards. None of that. We're exhausted. Everybody's exhausted. Home to bed.
I think, though, there's something really interesting in that whole bit about amateur, because when you look at John B, that's where his roots were, and he was a long time before he got properly recognised by professional theatre. Like, it was the late 70s, and I think it was when Joe Dowling became artistic director of the Abbey. It was until then, however many years after he had started, that he actually got a professional production in the Abbey.
The Abbey looked down its nose on John B. And they weren't the only one. I won't name names, but I do know somebody somebody else. Not here. But interestingly, the WDS didn't do John B. until quite relatively late. The Irish. Mm. One of the things in one of the pieces of archive material we have is that it was somebody who wrote an introduction to the page of the list. We have a lists of all the productions going back right to the beginning. And somebody said that it was seen, you know, Singh and O'Casey and John B. Keane were seen as kind of summer stock stuff for the tourists.
Gotcha.
Which was really interesting. They tended to do a lot of the well-known British playwrights like Terence Rattigan and people like that, you know. But there's an interesting thing. One of the things that that Kate mentions in her piece, because she has access to archival material that is behind paywalls that we haven't, but she came across, because we did the passing of Morgan Carey for our 60th, and that was James Chastity's last play. It was never published, but we did it for that. And there's a letter exchange of letters between Teresa Devi, who also had trouble getting her work done. And then, of course, she became deaf. Mm. So she basically, she did a lot of radio stuff after the radio plays. But she, there's this thing saying, oh, I love the amateurs. You know, I love the amateurs. More or less saying, you're going to get your stuff done by amateurs. You're not going to get it done. Because the Abbey was the only... There were a few small ones in Dublin, sort of project theatres like the in the Ablana and stuff like that. But yeah, it was the amateur groups all around the country, and the DLI, the Drama League of Ireland, and the ADL, and those are really, they are our, the, you know, DLI is our governing body.
Yeah,
and we benefit hugely from them. They have the rights, the amateur rights to this, and we're hugely grateful to them as well for. You know, and they put on fantastic summer courses as well, you know, so yeah, they're great.
I was just going to say, because there might be people who wouldn't necessarily be familiar with Teresa Devi. Like, Teresa Devi was a Waterford playwright,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Passage Road, one of those Devis.
Yeah.
Who did very well, and actually who went on to do quite well in England, not having been really given a whole lot of recognition here.
Hmm.
But she is now really being recognised. Even though it was technically before the time, she's really being recognised as having been so far ahead in terms of the feminist angle to her work and her portrayal of the lives of women, which actually, now that I say it, really resonates with John B.
Yeah.
Because John B was holding up a mirror to what life was like in the Ireland of his time, particularly for rural women.
Yeah.
And he just really got it in a way that was not being, what's the word
I
I'm looking for?
Portrayed.
Really, no,
yes. Yeah, for sure, absolutely. Yeah. Like I did read somewhere that he said something of Anna Manin. He always considered her his fifth sister. He had four sisters, and that
I didn't know that.
He does write very powerful, strong parts. Women, so he was very influenced by.
That's right.
Women.
And this woman she's a powerhouse. Maggie Polpin is a powerhouse, and Denise Quinn.
Well, hence the name Big
is
Maggie.
A powerhouse. And it's not to do with the stature of the woman; it's the stature of the character.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what's on and everything, folks. So, we're looking at Tuesday the 8th until Saturday 12th of April in Garter Lane. Yes. And you said the tickets are going well.
They are.
That's great.
Over the five nights, we have 450 tickets sold.
That's brilliant.
I know it's brilliant. Yeah. So on the Tuesday, which is the first night, which we have billed as a preview just because it gives an opportunity to give a more affordable ticket at 12 euro. That is the slowest night so far. It backfills from Saturday. There's well over 100 sold for Saturday.
Yeah, the usual, yeah.
Yeah, all the way back. And Wednesday, the other day, Wednesday, was 113 tickets sold out for Wednesday. There must be busloads coming from somewhere else.
Wednesdays and Thursdays are taken over from the weekends.
Yes.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
Parking in town and being in town, people are not inclined. But anyway, we're there.
The other thing is, it is a 7:30 start. A lot of people think it's 8 o'clock for theatre. It's very important. It's a 7:30.
Well, I think Waterford is normalising to 7:30 now in general. Most shows are kicking off at 7:30. Yeah. You were saying there's a special kind of souvenir brochure being done?
Yes. So that is with the designer at the moment, and we're filling in stuff as we go along. But the bulk of the stuff, Catherine has contributed a piece. Denise has balked at it. She has enough on her plate. I'm writing a piece, or have written a piece. Kate McCarthy has done a beautiful piece. And we have a lot of archive material, photos, lists of productions. You know, one of the things I thought of doing, but would surely leave somebody out. I mean, we're just thinking over the 46 years, people that I knew or worked with, like Davy Condon and Teddy O'Regan, Harry Geraghty, they're gone. Maureen Gilmartin, they're gone. But we still have great people. At this stage, mostly the women that are left, Jane Leslie and Judy Faulkner, Gerry Oakes, Mary O'Doherty, Margaret Torrey, people like that. But Hugo, who's not old, he's gone, you know. My good, very good friend who used to always help us with stuff and with get-ins and get-outs, Francie Kyo, who used to be on stage with Spree in the parades and stuff like that. But he supplied me with a whole load of stuff when we did Come Back to the Five and Dime about James Dean. He was a fan of James Dean. So these people, I feel they're sort of, it's on their, what would you call it, their shoulders and also in their shadow.
Yeah.
And I've only mentioned a couple of people. Bill Carlton is another who died way too young, you know. So, they will appear in photos and also in the lists of plays, a lot of them directed. So that's the only way we can really pay homage to them.
But it's great to be able to do it.
Wayne, just also pay homage, just as you're mentioning it, that it has come to me, you know, the actors have a very specific job to do, but the amount of work that goes on behind the scenes.
That's right.
And there are unsung heroes up and down the country, but I think definitely hats off to people who get things done.
And our audiences, there'd be no point in putting on a play
without an audience.
Without an audience. It's a workshop otherwise. And then, no disrespect to workshops because they're very necessary, but the other thing is our advertisers and sponsors.
Yeah.
We've had some very significant sponsorship, and that will be reflected in the programme too.
Brilliant.
Definitely. It's really impressive, Waterford in general, in the art scene, like to have so many groups like you mentioned before. So to be involved in something this special of the 90th anniversary, I was like, I can't say no to this. I have to be involved. There's something that's so embedded and still like a living, breathing thing. So Big Maggie is going to be a great place. It's really a fantastic play to kind of stamp in the 90th anniversary. And if you've never come to a Waterford Dramatic Society play before, this is the one to go to.
Well, now I can't say better than that.
Well, I was just going to say, that's a perfect place to leave it. Spot on. Well, we're going to wish you all the very best of luck with it. And, like, I mean, if it's anything to go by your normal standard, it's going to be one not to miss. That's for sure, anyway.
Thank you, Wayne.
Well, that's all we have for this week. Do hit subscribe on your favourite podcast player and you'll get these episodes sent to your device every single week after the show airs. Next week, it's all about Everybody's Talking About Jamie. So do keep your ears open for that. And in between, we'll also be dropping the special tribute that we did to Gary Power a couple of weeks back. All of that will be available as podcasts. So as I said, please do take the time to like and subscribe or whatever way you follow podcasts on your own specific player of choice. Thanks for listening.
Supporting the arts in Waterford. Showtime on WLR.
With thanks to Worldwide Wines. WLR.